It says, I've got some questions regarding place training. Been using general place training for a few years now as a foundation for retrieving work and steadiness. It's also helped with dogs being crazy when people enter our home. My approach includes sending a dog to place, sometimes from a distance, and expecting them to stay on it until I command them to retrieve or otherwise get off. In my case, even all morning duck sits usually involve some sort of break for the dog and for me to stretch our legs. I'm very curious about how Jeremy and his team use place training at home, in the house. It seems like the dogs don't get full roam of the house ever. Is that the case? Or do they occasionally get to romp around? My current pup, 10 weeks old, is doing exceptionally well, staying on place for a couple minutes. But I'm reluctant to force him to stay longer because of my perception of his attention span. Am I underestimating his potential, or is there something else you would do with the puppy between kennel time and place time? So there's a lot there. Now, so let's go back up to the top. This is a side note to this, but I'm a little concerned. I love the command place. I don't love the command place so much for my hunting stuff. I do think there's a place for it. I think I had this conversation with a guy the other week. I think we have to be very careful because place training is becoming very popular, which is awesome. I think it's great. I hope we're part of that reason. I think it's a great skill. It's really remote. It's a remote sit without having a remote sit. So it's having this spot that they have a little bit of freedom to move about, a little bit of freedom to get comfortable, a little bit. We're not asking them to sit remotely and not move, but we're also recognizing that they're recognizing they're not allowed to get into stuff because of the isolation factor. They're on an island. They're on a spot that they can't get at stuff. As long as you put it in the right spot, they can't get at anything else. So I think there's a lot more value in that in everyday life than hunting. Now, does place training transfer to hunting? Yeah, it does in a lot of situations because I might be going somewhere and I don't need the dog to sit remote and be a statue, but I also don't want the dog to be running around. So do I bring a place stand with me hunting? No, not at all. But I might use something like a stump, or I might use something like a piece of concrete, or I might use something like, I could go anywhere and pick out a lot of things. I've put pictures of my dog sitting on log piles. That's basically place training. Your place is that log pile. You can go anywhere you want on that log pile, but you can't come off of it. You can go anywhere you want on that little piece of busted up concrete that's flat and smooth, but you can't come off of it. There's all sorts of scenarios, a picnic table. I'm thinking of stuff in my backyard right now. The porch, like I have a relatively small deck that comes off. That could be a big place for the dog. So the skill for me is a valuable thing for a dog to understand and keep them out of getting into mischief. I don't like the idea, and part of this came up because I had a friend send me a message and say, hey, I'm watching these people in the park. They're training their dogs. There's 15 people in the park. It was a class. And they were literally 100% doing everything off of place boards. They had like formal place boards. And I said, and it made me start thinking about it. And I thought, there literally are programs, which I don't like calling anything that we do a program, because I just don't think it can be that concrete. But it's a generalization of understanding how dogs learn and then figuring out how to dial it in specifically for your dog or my dog or this dog or that dog. So we have to be a real adjusting as trainers, not necessarily rigid in following a program. So, but I see people talking about programs, and I see people more and more. I'm waiting. I mean, maybe that's out there already, but I'm waiting for the place training program that everything we do is built off of a place board. I think it's probably coming if it's not out there already. I am hesitant to say I see issues with it already. Because what happens when you don't have it? If you create this thing that the dog has to have in order to understand concepts and behaviors, then you take that thing away, you just lost all your leverage. So I kind of look at it like treat training. I kind of look at it like avoidance training with a collar. If those things have to be there in order for the dog to behave the way we want him to, what happens when you take the things away and the dog reverts and goes back to undesirable behavior. To me, it's incomplete training. So I think the part, I love play sports. I don't want people to say he's anti-play sport. No, not at all. I use them. I don't use them as play sports, though. I use them as elevated cots or beds for my dog. Like, I turn around and I've got three of them on beds behind me. Two are on one together and one is on one by itself. And the other dog is over on the other bed on the other side of the room. So I did not tell him to go there. We just got done training outside. We came in and we set up to do a podcast. And the dogs went on their beds and they laid down. It's a behavioral thing. It's a habit thing for them. I want to put that out there because I think it was worth talking about the idea of, boy, I just don't think we can be so reliant on one core thing to build programs and dogs around, regardless of what we're training them for. Whether it's the people in the park, which were not hunting dogs, there wasn't a hunting dog in the group. Those people in the park are building training off of this idea that we've got to have a place for it. I see retrieving guys doing it to get dogs to deliver. Now, I think it's a trick that you can use for a little while. I thought about using it. I talked about using it with a dog, and I thought it became more of a pain in the ass for me than it was than just doing it the way I've done it in the past, where we figure out a different way to get the dog to come to the front, go up against a wall. It's in our Bella Be Good series. You'll see it. I talked about it. I thought about it, and then I went, I did it a few times and I don't know that it helped me as much. Now, I'm not against it and I might try it with a younger dog. Maybe it would have been better if I started earlier. I don't know. But I'm not going to hang my hat on one tactic like that. And I see that a lot. I'm starting to see it more and more. So now the idea of helping when people enter the house, absolutely. Now my dogs, they go on their places very naturally because it's something we've been doing from an early, early part. It's more formal in training, a training tool early on. It's more habitual and lifestyle later on. So like I came in here and my dogs went on their place. So when other people come, if they want to greet that person, it's a very easy way for me to say, no, don't greet the person at the door, get on your place. So then I firm it back up to a command and the dog goes, oh, back to this. Now this is with a dog that I have here that's been on place for a long time. So they get it. They go, oh, I'm back to go on my spot. So yes, I totally agree. I think it's really nice for that. He talks about his approach is sending the dog from a distance, expecting them to stay until the commands to retrieve or otherwise get off. Yep, I'm all for that. I think you should have to go get them off early on, not call them. I don't want to get dogs calling off of place because I don't want a habit of them getting slippery and stepping off on their own, anticipating you calling them. It's no different than I don't call them off a sit. So I don't call them off sit, I don't call them off place early on. Older dogs, I can do it because I think they can understand that the habit has been formed strong enough that the place is the place. I don't come off of here. Sit means sit. I don't get to move. So, but that's that. And what time and how long and how many repetitions and how old does the dog have to be? No answer to any of the above. It depends on the dog. And you got to figure out how to read that as the handler. And you test it. And you test it and you find out that all of a sudden you called the dog off a sit a couple times and now it's not sitting steadily for you. Stop it. Stop calling them off a sit. Put a couple months on it before you do it again. And then you can figure it out again and start to work towards it. So it's a lot of trial and error. He said, and then he said something about going duck hunting, you stretch your leg. Yeah, I agree. Like I the thing about it is I carry enough stuff to the duck blind. I don't want to be carrying place beds. I don't want to have to do that. So that's the reason I wouldn't. But would I get out in the marsh? Would I get out in the field? Would I get out in the woods and do something similar to it? Yeah, because the concept can transfer. Like I said before, you can figure out ways. Hell, I could put a t-shirt down and the dog could be put on place there because that's a perimeter. You got to stay on that bed. You got to stay on that t-shirt. He doesn't know what it is. It's got to be just defined. So the question he says is, I'm very curious about Jeremy and his team, how they use place training at home and in the house. I just kind of talked a lot about that. It says that I don't see the dog. It doesn't seem like the dogs get to full room of the house. Not at all. You want your dog to get into trouble? Let them free roam the house. So I take away the opportunity to fail, which essentially sets the dog up for success. So that's completely my thought process. Don't put kids in spots that they're going to be tempted to get into trouble. Same thing with the dog. So My dogs don't roam the house. My older dogs have the freedom to, and I would say 85% of the time they choose not to. The reason I allow my older dogs to do it is because I have trust and confidence that they're not going to wreck something. So that would be the answer to that part of it. Do they occasionally get to romp around the house? So my current pup, he says, 10 weeks old, is doing exceptionally well, staying on place for a couple minutes. He's reluctant to force him to stay longer because his perception of attention span. Am I underestimating the potential, or is there something else to do with the puppy between kennel time and place time? Well, there's lots of stuff to do between kennel time and place time. I think they're totally different things. Yes, there's, you know, you work on stuff. You work on recall. You work on heel. You can take dogs for free walks. That's all stuff that you do in between place time and free time, or place time and kennel time. But you got to keep in mind that everything you do in that time period or space is habit forming too. So yeah, you can take dogs for free walks. I think you should. I think you should explore with them. I think they should have an opportunity to become bold and use their curiosity to figure things out. But I also don't think that means you put them outside and you just let them run around, because as soon as they start getting too far away, they're going to start to develop a range that's too big. If all you do is ever take them out and heel them, they're going to go, I'm not allowed to get out of heel position. I'm dealing with that right now with a 16, 17 month old dog that really, Callie, we're doing the series on. She is becoming much more capable and confident in the idea of getting out from the heel position with me. So that's taken some time. But so I don't want to go extreme one way or the other, but I also always am looking at what are the ramifications of whatever it is we're doing right now. Are we forming a habit? If we are, which essentially they always are forming habits, everything they do is habit forming. So make sure everything they do, habit forms the right habit. And by all means, avoid the wrong ones. So that answers the, what are we doing in between kennel and place time? All sorts of stuff. Now, the idea at 10 weeks. So here's what I don't like about this. You know, you said he's doing exceptionally well on place for a couple minutes. You're reluctant to force him to stay longer. My question is that force word. You know how I feel about force stuff. I don't think it's necessary most of the time. So it's a strong word. So maybe I'm reading more into it because it's just a message. Maybe if we were talking about it, we would have used a different word and I'd think about it differently. But right away, I start thinking force it. I don't think you have to force a dog to stay in place. I think you correct it if it comes off and you recognize that there are attention span issues and there are antsiness issues and there are realistic expectations that you can put on young dogs as far as focus. And if the dog is, I've had 10-week-old puppies that could stay on place for hours. I've also had 10-week-old puppies that had a really hard time staying on for a minute. And so each one were handled just differently. The dog that was antsy and couldn't stay on for a minute, I did my best to have my timing be sharp, my correction be crisp, that the second the dog anticipated that dog stepping off, I gave it the correction. It didn't take a lot of pressure. A simple, no, put it back 3-4 times. And then the dog finally realized, if I don't step off, he doesn't correct me. And then I was just as quick to time my praise and say, good boy, you did good. That's a learning opportunity. And if you can get the dog to do that for less than a minute, that hadn't done it for a minute, count that as a win. And then tomorrow, I'm going to go for 45 seconds and see how that goes. And maybe I get a minute out of it. And then once I get a minute out of it, maybe at the end of the minute, I go, I think he's going to fail. So before it gets to the point where I anticipate him jumping off, I'm going to pick him up, put him back in his kennel, and let him think about that for a little bit. And be like, that's a good session. Win. And then you slowly add the time to it. You're not taking big bites of this thing. You're taking little nibbles. So at 10, you said something about a couple minutes at 10 weeks. Don't base it on the age. I've seen some dogs that are 5 years old that a couple minutes would be really good and enough. And then we'd build off of it again tomorrow or later in the afternoon. We just slowly add to it. I've seen some dogs that are literally, I've had dogs that show us at 10 weeks old that can stay on them for hours. So it just depends on the dog. It depends on how you've set them up. It depends on how clearly they understand the concept. It depends on their personality and their willingness to be okay with just relaxing and doing nothing. I think it's all cultural. I think we want to speed our dogs up a lot and do things quickly in training. And then that means that they think everything that happens in training needs to be fast. I love sessions that we maybe do a few things. We did one today. We did a few things, but I would say if you look at the amount of time we spent out there, 50% or less was actually doing anything action-wise. The other 50% was, at one point I called the dog back to me and I just sat there and talked to the camera for 5 minutes explaining that what we had just done. So I got value out of that, hopefully value for the viewer. The second value was the dog realized we're hunting and now I got to sit still and wait and not whine and not fuss and be calm. And she did a great job with it. But that dog has had a culture of nice, slow patience. So I just think that that translates to everything you're doing, including place training. So, yeah, I don't think you should have to force them to do it. I think what you should look at it is slowly and surely, slowly but surely adding some time to it and finding success with it. Because once the concept is there, part of it is maturing to be able to add that amount of time. And as it gets old, you can't speed that up. You can't speed maturing up. So at 10 weeks old, I'd be real happy. If you had told me 30 minutes, I'd say, I'd be real happy. If you had told me 3 minutes, I'd have said, I'd be real happy. Like, I think it's real happy. It sounds like you're getting some progress, positive progress. Keep it moving. Keep it going in that right direction. So, and then I'm just going to touch quickly. You said, am I underestimating his potential? I think we underestimate all of our dogs' potential. Like, I think we are always underestimating their potential. What I think we don't do very well is have realistic expectations when it comes to that potential. I see a lot of people that are on one end of the spectrum or the other. My dog's so dumb it won't learn that. That's their attitude. Well, they're right. They're right. They won't learn that because it's not the dog is dumb. I think the dog's got you buffaloed more often than not. So the dog has really figured out how to get you to just let him do what he wants to do. Now, the other end of it is the people that think they have the next great one. Like, you see that a lot too. I've seen a lot of dogs. I've seen lots and lots of puppies. I've yet to find the great one because I don't know if that even exists. Like, it's the Michael Jordans of the dogs. I don't think they exist. I think they all have potential to be very, very good, better than we'll probably ever get out of them. So do we underestimate their potential? Yes. But do we have realistic expectations most of the time? That's the biggest struggle. I'm getting a lot better at it. But it's taken me... my son is a freshman in college, and he's going to get a puppy this summer of his own. That's when I got my first Labrador. So that would have been 22 years ago. So now, prior to that, I had trained more dogs than he has trained. He hasn't trained any yet. So he's never had that real, like, need to have his own dog. He's never felt that way. He's got it now, and I'm real happy about it. So, but prior to me at 19 years old, I had worked with a bunch of golden retrievers, and they weren't that good. I thought they were great, quite honestly. And each one was a little bit better, but they weren't that good. But neither was I. They were good. They did what we needed them to do. From a hunting standpoint and a family dog standpoint, but I wasn't a trainer back then. At 19 is when it first hit me. It was 22 years ago. I can say that I'm getting better at it. I'm getting a lot better at understanding it. I'm getting a lot better at figuring it out. Probably having the realistic expectations that I should. It came from 22 years and a bunch of dogs, and I'm not even that great at it yet. So I think I can do some really good things with dogs. I think I can really turn out nice dogs. I think if you talked with folks that have trained dogs for, I think they would say that. So if you're listening to this and you're going, do I have realistic expectations? You probably don't. And you probably shouldn't. Unless you've been doing it for a really, really long time and you trained a lot of dogs. And even if you have, I don't want to burst your bubble, but I'm going to be the one to tell you, You're not as good as you think you are, probably. I'm not. And I don't even think I'm that good. So you let's some humility and humbleness is important when it comes to this. And so, Ben, I'm going to tell you right now, it sounds like you've got a really good start on things. You should be confident in what you're doing. But I also want to be honest with you and say, you got a long way to go. And I don't say it to be a jerk. I say it to be honest. And I think if you're okay with hearing that and going, he's right. I got a really good start, but I got a long way to go. I think you, in the end, will get so much more out of what you're doing with the dog, and the dogs will get a lot more out of it as well. So Ben can be any one of you guys listening, because it's probably a very similar story. So that gets a little deeper than the idea of place training. But at the same time, you know, I think we got to keep that stuff in mind. I think it's important.